The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in John, the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he kept the common person used to steal what was in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, these passages that you've heard today are just so incredibly powerful. They're right at the heart and center of everything we teach around here in the Christian church. And let me give you my take on it first by starting by telling you about my in-laws, Tom and Marie Tompkins from Kansas. The first picture is the picture of their wedding. 1944, in the middle of World War II, Tom was on a brief leave from his naval officer's training, and they had 2 days to get married. But don't they look happy? You know, even confident look in their eyes, even as they face the threat and the dangers of war that would certainly threaten their marriage, possibly. And then look at them on the other side, 65 years later, still looking confident and positive about life. They've been such role models for Emily and I through our whole married life. And they're a couple who've always faced risks and had successes and made mistakes, yes, but faced one change after another in their lives. And with each change, they've said, you know, life just keeps getting better. And they've continued to move on from change to change, never regretting the past or shutting the door on it, but learning from it and making use of it. And here's Tom. He was the president of a college at the peak of his career, Missouri Valley College in Marshall, Missouri. And after 5 years in that position, he said, you know, I've done everything I can do for this college. I'm going to stop now. And he resigned without a job at age 55. And they moved to Kansas City, where while he was looking for work, he'd say every day when he got up, let me see, am I on vacation or am I unemployed? You know, that was his attitude. And perhaps sooner than they thought, he landed a job at Rockhurst College as their director of development, where he was the first Protestant in that position, instead of a priest, by the way, in their 100-year history. He loved that job, and he did that for a few years, and that led him to a job as a consultant at Martz & Lundy, a resource development firm nationally, and from which he retired 2 times. He loved that so much. And each time they moved, it's been amazing to me how they even shed their material possessions with every move they've made. And we've been the beneficiaries. Half of our house is furnished by Tom and Marie. Each time they move, they got rid of stuff. And they were lifetime tithers, by the way. They give at least 10% of all their income to church and other causes that were important to them. And they enjoyed their life so much together. Even the giving, Tom once commented to me, you know, I love balancing my checkbook because then I get to enjoy giving twice. Interesting, eh? And 3 months before Tom died, we were having nearly daily phone calls at that point with Tom and Marie. And Marie said, you know what? This is the best time of our lives. Here Tom was in hospice, home hospice care. God is so good to us, she said. We couldn't be happier. Even in the face of death, that was their story, you know? For them, this passage rings true. This passage. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Even now it springs forth from Isaiah. I'll make a way where there isn't one. God says. I'll make streams in the desert even. I'll give drink to my chosen people, the people I formed for myself, that they may declare my praise. Because that was then, and this is now. Well, that's been the life of Tom and Marie, trusting in God's abundance and grace and not clinging to any of their credentials or honors or awards that they gathered along the way. A couple weeks before Tom died, I asked him what he wanted to pray for. And he said this, the ability to be useful to others. 2 weeks before he died, the ability to be useful to others. And you know what? He was. All the way to about 10 minutes before, of his conscious moments before he died, this very beautiful death, he was useful to others. How could they live consistently, so consistently in that attitude? Well, it's because Tom and Maurice also would subscribe to the second of our scripture passages that Chuck read to us a little bit ago from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Whatever I had gained by my credentials and accomplishments, I count as garbage, dog dung. The word in Greek is skubala. I won't tell you what it really means. But at any rate, I count it as garbage compared to the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Tom and Marie understood that this living relationship with Jesus Christ was at the heart of a life well lived. A life lived holding lightly in their hands the things God had given them, you know? And with each turn of life that God led them into, they could say as they learned their lessons, their successes and their failures, well, that was then. This is now. And you know, Marie continues along that same vein. Of course she misses Tom, but forgetting what lies behind, pressing on toward the goal of the upward call of Christ Jesus, she's still doing her full volunteer job at St. Luke's Hospital in Kansas City for her 42nd year. Because that was then, as beautiful as their life was together, but this is now. That was then. This was now. That's what Paul was talking about in this incredibly powerful passage from Philippians that you heard. Remember the story? A devout Pharisee, a scholar with the utmost integrity, a rising star in the Jewish community, Paul was, fortunate to be a Jew who was also a Roman citizen. And by the way, that credential actually helped move things further along in his mission later on. But highly intelligent, committed, passionate adherent to the Torah, very sincerely believed that these Jesus people had to be destroyed before they destroyed the true faith. And he was there happily in one scene after another like this one in the background there as Christians were being stoned to death like Stephen the martyr. And so sincere in his belief. You know, then one day, on the road to Damascus, to arrest some more Jesus people, he was struck down, blinded by the light, in his come-to-Jesus moment, so to speak, huh? And that blindness lasted for 3 days to get his attention, so that Paul could get reprogrammed as servant of the Lord he once persecuted, huh? Can you imagine the burden of guilt that he could have carried for ordering the deaths of all those early Christians? But in the light of Christ's forgiving love, he was able to testify in this passage, yes, it's true, I did all that, but you know what? That was then. This is now. He was set free from all that old junk to be God's messenger. All over the known world, by the way, huh? Including places like Athens, which was a place of intelligence and learning and a global center. There he was, witnessing to Jesus Christ. And then he used his new credential, slave of Christ, that was his new credential, even in prison, where he continued to write to and support the Christian churches out there all over the place. In fact, in this letter of Paul's to the church in Philippi, considered his most joyous letter. He wrote it from prison in Rome and probably in his prison cell underneath the city standing in sewage up to his knees, singing, "Rejoice in the Lord," you know? His new credential, slave of Christ. For Paul, it had become clear he could endure anything for the sake of witnessing to this unconditional love of Jesus Christ that had claimed him. And even death didn't stop his witness. We're even reading his testimony to it this morning, huh? 2,000 years later. One of the guys in our men's Bible study yesterday morning, I'm so impressed with those guys, said this: the common thread going through all these Bible passages this morning was faith. Faith in Christ Jesus is at the center of the life well lived. You can have all the possessions, he said, all the power and influence you want in life, but when there's no faith, it counts as so much garbage. And he talked about how Mary's expression of faith in our gospel reading was this purest expression of faith. You know, there she is, kneeling at the feet of Jesus, gratefully, using her own hair to perform a bodily expression of her love for this Jesus who has redeemed her. And the fragrance that filled that room was faith released. Faith in the love of Jesus as she received it and as she expressed it in her own act of self-giving love to prepare Jesus for his death. Well, whatever your life has been up till now, that was then. This is now, today. And every time you realize how Christ has claimed you, you're invited to claim Christ back. And every time you do it, each turn of your life, each success, each failure, you learn more and more from that success or failure what it means to be set free from what has been, and you're even more set free to praise God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your credentials. The word strength, by the way, in Hebrew here, it's a strange word. It's your very. Loving God with your very, which means your whole very being. Huh? Because once we get just a sip of this, of Jesus' self-giving love, that drink, we want more. We want to know more of him and the power of his resurrection. We want to share in his sufferings by becoming like him. Not that we've already completely made it our own, as Paul says, but forgetting what lies behind, we press on toward what lies ahead, to that fuller, deeper, richer experience of being what we already are. Beloved of Christ, servants of Christ, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Even now, it springs forth, because that was then. This is now.